The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Fight for freedom,
freedom
and the soul of the USA. Right here, right now, it's Independence Day.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is the National Intel Report. Today's date is November 4th, 2022. And I am your host for the next 2 hours. And I'm going to be co-hosted by Roger Landry for at least one full hour and maybe a little more. And then the final 20 to 30 minutes of the show, Steve Elkins is going to join me. And we may or may not have Roger Landry on at that time. We're going to have Roger Landry. He is going to be my co-host for the next hour plus, as long as he's able to join us. And we're doing a tribute to John. Tomorrow, I have a show on Saturdays. Saturday, is the actual anniversary of his leaving us. And I'm sure that it's been talked about all throughout the day. I'll probably recap how I found out about it. And it's still a loss. For probably, it was about a month after his passing where I went, wow, actually why am I so down? And it hit me. I was a little depressed. I mean, good friend. I could call him up and kick around ideas and say, hey, this is what's going on in the world, and what are your thoughts? And he was more than happy to share with me what was on his mind and what he thought was important and what wasn't. In fact, so Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central, I have a show that I do. It's Talk with John. And feel free to tune in. tomorrow. Once again, I'm going to have Roger joining me in the second hour. And it will be actually the passing, the date of the passing of John. And we will do a full tribute to him. So I just want to say thank you to the network allowing me the opportunity to pay my tribute to him both last year, but also this year, take a specific time, specific show that's his. And we may cover a few other points along as well. So without any further ado, let's get Roger Landry up here. Roger, how you doing, my friend?
I don't know. Look around you. That would probably be the best answer I can give you, because I'm 68 years old and I've never seen the world in chaos like we see it today. But I do agree with you that this is a time to thank John for what he contributed to the what I tend to call the freedom movement or the liberty movement or an awareness factor that he promoted. And I was very, very, very aware of that. Having done, I don't know, at least a year every single week at the same time on the same day doing an hour ahead of his show. So well over 50 episodes I joined John on in 1 year, and I are over that span. And to me, it was invaluable time.
He had a great way of putting things. He'd been in this fight for, I want to say he'd been broadcasting for over 20 years. And had at one point in time, you could say AJ, Alex Jones, owes a big part of what he's accomplished to John Stadtmiller. John Stadtmiller assisted him in getting that up and running. And then John Stadtmiller decided to, he wound up going off on his own and getting his own thing going and got this network up. Kept out, found advertisers, got new advertisers, was able to make it happen. I never met him in person. I was thinking that actually this year that I was probably going to go and meet with him about a month before his passing. I talked to John. I said, hey, next year, before Thanksgiving, I want to make it out your way and meet you in person. And he was more than welcoming to having me come. And that's one person that I'll never be able to meet in person. But to me, in my mind, he was a mountain of a man. And I hope someday on the other side I get to meet him and we get to have a long chat. But bottom line is, there are few that did more for liberty. There are few that were more dedicated to the truth and more dedicated to their fellow man here in the United States, especially in the last 20 years, than John Stadtmiller. And it's kind of funny that he got people of like mind, such as yourself, to come on board, men that have been in this fight for a long time, willing to sacrifice much for this fight, because John Stadtmiller had a way about him. He probably could have made it on a big network had he been willing to just do what it takes to go along to get along. But that was not John's perspective in life.
I got to jump in because you just said something absolutely sterling, which set this up perfectly. I am, and for anybody who doesn't know, I am the founder of the Liberty Beacon Project, and most of you probably do. I do have a show on RBN, and it's on Sundays, and it's on from noon to one, and it's called TLB Talk Radio. And it's because of John I have this show. But that's not my point. My point is, in tune with what you just heard from John, John was the type of person who would listen to you and he would tell you what he thought. But you could always tell that there was a little bit of, I don't know, it's almost as if he couldn't quite make up his mind on certain things you said, or he couldn't quite make up his mind on your attitude. And you could hear that in his voice. Now, I literally, okay, and this is a day in the life of Roger, and it's not, we're making the show about Roger, but I need to set up what I'm about to explain to you about John. I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I work until about 11 o'clock every night before I actually fall asleep. I haven't had a day off in over 12 years. I never leave my computer or this network except for 2 to 3 hours a week to go to the grocery store. Now, there are a multitude of people that can prove that an absolute fact and back that up. But John was one of those people who, again, I would talk to him, and he would invite me on his show initially back over and over again every week before it became you will be here every week to start for the first hour of my show. And before that, him and I would have conversations, and most of you know that when I'm angry, you know I'm angry. I have no problems raising my voice because to me, that's honesty. It's showing you this is the way I feel, and I'm telling you why I feel that way. Sometimes John would listen to that, and then he would react or he would comment in a fashion that I didn't quite think that he believed. Not that he didn't believe me or that he really understood or really believed what I was saying. One day John asked me, he says, Roger, where do you live? I said, I live in Arkansas. I live up in the hills of Arkansas. And he said, exactly where? And I told him exactly where. And the following weekend, he told me, I'm on my way. And that's all. He sent me a message saying, I'm on my way. Now, he already had my address because he had sent me some things that I value, some memorabilia, whatever. And the next thing I know, about 12 hours later, there's a knock on the door. And I opened the door, and there stood John Stadmiller. And he shook my hand, and he looked me right in the eye, and we sat down and we started to talk. And I brought up to John, I said, so sometimes when I'm talking and you hear me getting emotional, you hear me getting angry, it's almost as if I don't think you're quite following me. And he looked at me and he said, and you would be exactly right. And I said, so what do I need to change that? And he said, we just did that. And I looked at him and I said, what are you talking about, John? He said, I looked into your eyes and I shook your hand. And now I have total faith in you. He left the following morning. He spent the night in a hotel. He wanted to have a little bit of freedom while he was up here to look around. Came back, said goodbye the following morning. And as he was jumping in his car to drive back to Texas, he looked at me and he said again, I shook your hand and I looked into your eyes. That was the most personal moment I ever had with John. And to this day, it impresses the hell out of me. He drove for 9.5 hours to look me in the eyes and shake my hand. This is an absolute true story. And it, to this day, leaves a massive impression on me as to who John was and how he thought. But the very next time I went on to John's show, just before we went on air, he said, Roger, if you would do me the favor, I would like to have you the first hour of this day every single week going forward. And I pretty much did that almost up until the time John passed. So that's a story, or that is an experience I needed to share, John.
One thing that I found him to be is giving. So those of you that listen to him on the airwaves may have thought him to be somewhat braggadocious. Maybe pompous at times, but I think those that knew him, I found him to be very genuine and very giving. He, and the other thing about him that is unique is he really wanted your individual success.
Oh, he could call you to task.
I'm not going to say that that isn't the case.
On more than one occasion, I apologize for butting there, but I got to say this too. On more than one occasion, I would say something, and the words out of John's mouth, the next words were, "Oh, come on, Roger," just like that. And I would literally have to prove what I said by quoting documents or quoting examples or telling him where he could go to get the information, because he really wanted to believe me, and he knew me. He knew how to play me like a Stradivarius. If he even slightly questioned in front of his audience what I was saying, not doubting it, but slightly questioning it, he knew that I would go off and spit out enough information to back up what I said, and I could just picture him sitting back there, okay? I could get with his big smile on his face going, "Bingo, got it." I could.
Yeah. And he knew the audience, and I think he knew people very, very well. So much to the fact he even knew when, so he goes, "John," I had someone introduce me to him, and gave me his phone number, and I gave him a call, left a message, and told him I was just some schmuck out in Salt Lake that was just starting a radio show, hadn't been doing it very long. I'd been listening to him for a little while, and, would love to chat with him and maybe even have him on as a guest. He called me up, and I was shocked to get the return phone call. And he said, "This is John Stattmiller. What do you want? You know, let's talk."
"What do you want?" "Yep."
And he goes,
"Excuse me."
Towards the end of the phone call, he goes, "John, this was for kind of a couple of purposes. You left a message and you're a radio guy," and he goes, "we need real people," and he goes, "I can tell you're genuine." He goes, "I can tell that you care about your country," and he goes, "the reason why we had this conversation back and forth and I challenged you on things is because I wanted to know if you were for real." And he goes, "I'm willing to give you a lending hand." And he goes, I'm more than happy to come on your show." And so I wound up having him on my show, and it was one of the big treats. Now, one of the most awesome moments of my show is actually we had the both of you on back yes. in February. In fact, I can give the exact date, folks. You can go to SoundCloud, look up K-Talk Media, and you go to K-Talk Media, and you put in K-Talk, just letter K, talk, in SoundCloud, and you go to the date, February 16th. It's Roger, me, and John Stattmiller.
Yes.
And we went at it. Now, let me rephrase that. I let you two just
yes.
go away. I jumped in every once in a while because, you know, it was my show.
Not very often.
But it was just so much fun to just sit back and laugh. I sat back and laughed many, many moments, and I just sat back and listened. And I would stir the pot whenever I could. And, boy, you two just went at it. And so your guys' show was an awesome show. I always enjoyed. I made sure that was must listen radio for me, and I was lucky enough to either go to the website on RBN and listen to it, or I would listen to it on my iPhone on the podcast version.
And can I tell you? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish, please.
And so it was just. It was a great interaction, and it was great to listen to the two of you just talking about what was going on at the current time. And, you know, it was one thing that was great about you, Roger, is you always took phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every once in a while I'd be like, I want to jump in and I want to say something. But just like the audience, I had to sit back and listen. So
yeah.
it was great talk. And The thing is, it was, you would bring up points. So one thing that Roger, that you do really well is you do your research really well. One thing about John is he had years and years of history of what you had been saying and getting to that point. Now, he one of the things that he did at the very, in that first phone call, he goes, John, where are your sources? Where do you go to? And I happened to, the sources I named, he went, huh, not bad, young man. Those are most of the sources I go to. Here's a couple more you might want to look at. But he only had about five sources that he really trusted very much. Obviously, the Liberty Beacon was one of them. But there were only a few others that he's like, and he goes, one of the big keys, John, is to do what you can to find out multiple sources saying the same thing. So a lot of respect. He was not big on someone coming and telling the truth. But another thing about him is he was really good sniffing out moles, trolls, and a-holes.
I somebody told me that I needed to talk to John. At the same time, somebody told John he needed to talk to me. That's how I met John. My first conversation with John was very long, very drawn out, and because he knew that I had been, well, the Liberty Beacon Project has six global websites and a social media website. For anybody who doesn't know this, when John passed, he was a partner to the Liberty Beacon Project. And he helped us, and in the position
and,
of
and
the
Roger, media. I'm going to jump in on you right here. He was very, very proud of that fact.
Well, he was the media director for the new social media platform, TLBTalk.com, which is what my radio show, TLB Talk Radio, is named after. But my initial conversation with John was very long, very in-depth. He knew that I had worked 30 years for the military, either in the military, which I was for 8 years, and 22 years working for Raytheon facilitating DOD contracts. He knew that I had over 1.5 million air miles, that I was out of the country 75 to 95% of every single year, traveling from one country to another, fixing things that go bang or things that find things that go bang. He knew what to ask me, not so much for me to prove that I knew what I was talking about, so that he could suck information out of me to enhance what he wanted to talk about. This is why we got along so well. John would play me, and I knew this, and I was all for it. He would play me like a Stradivarius. The questions he asked, he pretty much had an idea the answers I would give, and that would set him up for his audience to take it to the next level. I so enjoyed having these conversations with John. I really, really did. But what John, where John really shone to me, okay, was he didn't do all the research I did, but he had been doing this, and you said 20 years. John had actually been involved in things along this line for almost 40 years. And John had a darn good memory for things he wanted to remember. If he didn't want to remember it, if he didn't think it was important, he wouldn't remember it from one day to the next or one week to the next. But if he thought it was important, he would put it in a drawer in his memory, okay? And he would file it away in a filing cabinet. And whenever he needed it, he could go in and he could draw from it and he could build from it. John had not so much the research background, because that's all I do. I've told you basically what Roger's life is, and this is a fact. But John had done so many shows, had talked to so many people, had heard so many different points of view, and had one of the best BS meters I knew. He had a bullcrap meter that was extremely accurate. So what John had was a memory of innumerable conversations that he had filed away as accurate, not accurate. When you hear this, it's bullcrap. When you hear this, this guy pretty much knows what he's talking about. And when you had a conversation with John, I could close my eyes and picture him going through the file cabinet with everything I said. And that's what made John such a great host, is not that he had done massive research. It's that he had entertained so many learned people in so many different subjects and remembered all of the key and the pertinent points from each one of those discussions that it was hard for you to catch him with his pants down.
When you have that wealth of knowledge and you've interviewed as many people as he has, I think that that's something that you can gather. The more that I'm interviewing and the more interviews that I do, the more that I'm able to kind of pick that.
It's called wisdom, John.
Well, on
wisdom.
Top of that, I'd like, my job is a salesman. So I'm not very good, but I can tell a good story. I can tell a good yarn. And I let people know the difference between the story and the, you know, the story of what really happened and the yarn. Eventually I tell them the truth. I want them to buy into the story for a minute, but, that was one thing that he really understood and he was really good about was, and on top of that, he said, John, trust your instincts about
people. And he could laugh. My God, when John got the chuckles, now, it didn't happen very often, but when John got a serious case of the chuckles, oh, my God. Well, I couldn't, anybody around him had to start laughing, too. It was that contagious. And I had a habit of saying things that tripped John's chuckle switch. And sometimes it actually exacerbated me. It's like, oh, my God, why is he laughing? And then after the fact, I would stand back and think about what I had said, and I would realize that if I was John Stadtmiller, that would make me bust up, and he did. But John, again, steered a conversation via his actions and his reactions. And he was very good at choreographing a show and a guest. And to me, I was a willing partner to this because he always seemed to bring out the best in me. And when I listened to him talking to other and interviewing others and having others on his show, he did the same with them. He made them, in some cases, sound smarter than they probably were.
Another thing, though, 90% of the time, that's the way it was. But if you were BSing, you didn't know what you were talking about, oops, or you were trying to be pompous and you were selling a story, I loved him calling people out on it.
Oh, yeah.
And there were times that he was like, I even want to say I heard one or two shows where he cut loose on the guest and just basically, see you later. I don't buy a single thing you're saying. And the other thing was that I respected about John is he was willing to talk about anything. He was willing to talk about the Jews. He was willing to talk about the Federal Reserve. He was willing to talk about the LGBT community. He was willing. I mean, he would talk about anything that he thought was good, relevant information for his audience. He was.
You
not
know what? Hold on. I apologize for butting in, but we're about to go into a break. Do you know what I want to talk about on the other side? I want to talk about John and callers. I swear to God, nobody treated callers like John did. Nobody.
He could get angry at him. He could be mean to him.
I'll give you a few examples after the break. But there were times when I had to literally mute my mic. I was laughing so hard. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the one of the biggest honors I ever had in my entire life was being invited as a guest on his show.
Agreed.
And his willingness and his openness to help me find guests. So, folks, we're going to take this break. Coming back from the break, we're going to play John Stadtmiller and talk with John talking for about 5 minutes. But those of you that we do have a few new joining, they'll be able to hear John Stadtmiller like it was today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica. Another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Republic Broadcasting. This is National Intel Report. I am your host for these 2 hours, John of Talk with John. Saturdays, I have a show from 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central. And I always said 4 to 6 Central because it dug into John just a smidgen. Because he would always make sure he was talking about the real people's time, Central Time, right? The most important place in America. Texas. So
why it's called Central.
That's right. Okay, so let me add, and that was Roger Landry, for those of you that are not aware that I have Roger Landry joining me right now. Mike, are we ready to roll on that piece? And if we are, let's go ahead and let it go.
What happened? So right now I have joining me someone that I've already had join. His name is John Stattmiller. John Stattmiller is a host on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In fact, he is the founder of the Republic Broadcasting Network. And John Stattmiller, I am so grateful that you are joining me here today. I'm sorry that we weren't able to get Skype up and running properly, and maybe we can figure that over the top of the hour. We'll see what happens.
conference, and I could read lips a little bit, but we had no volume, but a great picture.
By the way, unfortunately for you, it was a great picture.
Yeah. Well, let me add an addendum to your opening prayer there. What I always remind all the Christians, you can pray to God, please do, pray for guidance, but act like it depends on you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I remember a little rule book that was left behind. I think it was called the Bible, or some people, derisionary people, the Holy Bible. But in that, it's the rule book. Now, I don't know about reading an instruction book, but I suggest more people do it. But the guidance was given. We know what we have to do. And, you know, don't take time out in your day to on bended knee. No, you can pray while you work. We're in a lot of trouble. We need all good men and women of good conscience, ethics, and morality to stop doing nothing and start engaging. And whether that's just talking to a fellow Christian or non-Christian, I don't think it really matters. Because, John, we're right in the middle of a flip in this country that's going to determine the future of the country till forever and ever. We're in dangerous area here. Very dangerous.
It is definitely, this is the time that tries men's souls right now. To quote a famous book. And let's hope that it just is a trying time and it doesn't become the standard of time. And we look back at this time and go, well, those were the good old days, meaning this year, past September, what was it, or March 15th, excuse me. I have some major, major, major concerns. So, go ahead.
Well, I think we've gotten an indicator here as politically what our future is going to look like. I'm sure we'll roll around to the issue of Donald Trump and the recount and court cases and Sidney Powell and all that stuff. But, you know, as I look at this, and if Sidney Powell was correct and the Dominion and the software that was used by the CIA in Venezuela to flip an election there, we've already seen John Brennan, we've already seen Mr. Comey of the FBI in collusion to dump Donald Trump. So why, if that were the case, and that's what the CIA does, in case we've got some neophytes in the audience out there that doesn't realize what the CIA does, these are the people that set up coups, these are the people that destabilize countries for overthrow of their elected, good, bad, or indifferent, their elected officials. We've got Haspel in there now as the CIA director. Trump said he was going to fire. Mr. Ray, that evidently has done nothing with a lot of information that he's had, magically we replace Comey and we'd say, oh, well, we've got it fixed. Mr. Ray's in there and he'll make sure the Federal Bureau of Investigation is on the straight and narrow. Anybody that's buying this, you just need to pull the covers back up over your head and go back to sleep.
So, for me, that goes to show his level of understanding and actually his wit. I love it. Two things. Christians, that's something that he would say when he was on my show. He'd be like, you Christians, you need to take action. Get off your knees. Get to work. Roll up your sleeves. He was a man that was not afraid of doing that work himself. And then the other thing is he had a little bit of wit. Hey, maybe you ought to pull the covers back over your head and go back to sleep. Well, we need more of our nation to uncover those, take those covers off, and it's time to take action. Roger?
We are sitting in what is easily the most dangerous time this country has seen in well over a century. And that's not a joke, but it goes beyond that. Because what is happening in the United States is part of a choreographed scenario that is happening globally. I've been talking about this for over 10 years. And let me do this real quick, John, and then I won't beat it up if you don't want me to. But you have to stop and consider how many things have gone wrong in America in the last 2 years. The list is longer than your arm, even if it's written in micro print. We're talking about a collapsing economy. We're talking about a collapsing education system. We're talking about a collapsing healthcare system. We're talking about a collapsing military. We're talking about collapsing sovereignty. We're talking about a wide open border. We're talking about. All of this has happened in 2 years. Most of these things don't happen in 20 years. Never mind all of these things happening in 2 years. But what John and I started to discuss before his passing was we saw an uptick globally of these things starting to happen. Of course, they hadn't, not this many things that happened in such a short period of time back then, but we started to see a global economic collapse was in the planning. Take a look at around you today. We're talking global economic collapse. One country, and what's happening in Europe right now? The European Union is collapsing economically. I can go nation after nation after nation. Australia on its way down. The United States on its way down. And I can continue on. But you need to understand something. All of this was choreographed well over a century ago, and it is technology that has brought it all to fruition and sped it up. And this was expected. What am I talking about? You cannot have global governance unless two things exist. And this is why Joe Bob was installed. I didn't say elected. I said installed. Why? Because he's a puppet who's compromised, and he will do what he's told when he is told, and they have no doubt about it. He will even bring the most wreckage to this country we have ever seen in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, never mind two. But this is happening globally. You have to bring the cowboys of the world to their knees before the rest of the planet will go to its knees. What do you need for global governance? You need to see a global economic collapse. I just started telling you about that. But what's the other thing you need? And this is verboten territory for a lot of people, but it is a fact. Roger doesn't say anything he cannot prove. There are statistics out there showing, and these are scientifically done and very accurate, that there are a minimum 20 million deaths already caused by the COVID vaccines. 20 million, with estimates saying it could be as high as 50 million globally.
We're more concerned about someone maybe getting the flu and passing away. I think you're getting a little...
But I'm not done. I'm about to put the real kicker in there. For anybody who thinks that that's the big news, it isn't, because there's 8.5 billion of us. If I say they know of 20 million, but it could be as high as 50 million, that's a small number compared to 8.5 billion. But what if I told you that statistics show that there is a minimum of 2.2 billion vaccine damaged on this planet right now? Remember, this vaccine has been administered in multiple doses globally. So 2.2 to 2.5 billion seriously damaged people, and as many, and anywhere between 20 and maybe as many as 50 million dead. Now, if you stop to consider what I just said, that is the biggest die-off this planet has ever seen. And why are 2.2 billion people damaged? Because their immune system has been destroyed. Over the next few years, you will see a vast quantity of them pass away. The two things you need for global governance, and here's where I ended up, and I'll pass the ball back to you, my friend. The two things you need to for global governance is you need to bring the entire economy of the globe to its knees so the elite can say, I know it's bad. Take my hand. Let me help you up. It won't be as good as it used to be, but it'll be better than it is now. And the second thing you need, and you hear them talking about this at the World Economic Forum, only they kind of hide it a little bit in their words. The second thing is there are far too many people on this planet. 8.5 billion people is not a number you can control. So what do you need for global governance? You need global economic ruination. Look around you, it's happening. And you need a massive reduction in population. We have what the Moderna CEO admitted. Listen to me. The Moderna CEO stated this in public or in a meeting where it was recorded. He stated that COVID-19 is no worse than the yearly flu unless you are extremely old or have several comorbidities. We have given the deadliest vaccine this planet has ever seen in multiple doses to billions across the planet, and we are looking at right now the biggest die-off the world has ever seen. And everything you see around you keeps you from looking at that, doesn't it? What do you need for global governance? You need to wreck the global economy, and you need to seriously cut back on the global population. Please tell me which one of those isn't happening right now.
I will tell you one additional thing. Some people are starting to wake up that I was kind of surprised are starting to wake up. So first thing I want to point out, Ron DeSantis had his Secretary of Health or whatever type of position that is in his state mention that the COVID vaccine for, especially for men, to get that COVID vaccine, they did a study. Now, this was only, and the media has poo-pooed this study because it has not been, quote-unquote, what's the term, when you peer-reviewed, truly peer-reviewed study. But there are many people that are saying, this is accurate from the numbers I see, saying that men ages, I believe it's 40 and under, or maybe it's 65 and under.
No, it's 40 and under. You're right. Go ahead.
40 and under, that they are having a extreme amount of death within a few weeks to about a month and a half after receiving the shot. Now, they said if it was taking place somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 months, it may not be so easy to prove.
Hold on. You are 20 times more likely to be hospitalized due to the COVID vaccine than you
Roger.
Are. Hold on.
Roger,
you are to be.
Hold on, Roger. I'm not going to let you get these lies across. I'm going to be the mainstream media guy. These are lies
This is part of what you just said. This is part of those statistics. You are 20 times or 2,000% more likely to end up in the hospital by taking a COVID vaccine if you are 40 years old or under than if you get COVID. We're talking 20 times, 2,000% more likely to end up in the hospital with what may be permanent damage or death if you take the vaccine rather than just getting COVID, the yearly flu, according to the Moderna CEO, and letting it run its course.
Now, wait a minute. I've been well informed by the mainstream media that you are wrong. I've been well informed by the mainstream media that you are much more likely to die and go to the hospital if you were not. And in fact, all of the people that are dying in the hospital are those that are the unvaccinated.
Not only that, but there are court cases popping up globally right now against the use of, and they absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, prior to passing the PCR tests around the globe for everybody to use, and they were 98% wrong. Listen to me, not 50%, not 45%, not 60%. These tests were wrong 98% of the time, but they were used to turn the entire globe into a locked down, frightened herd of sheep that were wondering if they were going to wake up tomorrow or be allowed out of their house ever again. That was the PCR test. There is already proof they knew that PCR test could not do what it was supposed to do before they ever used it the first time.
And it
there
isn't
are people
convenient
who need to be in prison.
isn't it convenient that the person who invented that test died shortly before COVID came out?
Well, the person who worked on that test told everybody that test doesn't work for this. You can't use it for this.
Yeah.
He said that. He flat out said, don't use it for COVID. That's stupid. It was never designed to be used for that. Do you know what the PCR test did? The PCR test tested, and it depends on how many times you ran the test through, it tested your body for a coronavirus, which is the flu. So if you ever had the flu and your body had ever built any immunity at all to the flu in your entire life, that would test you positive for COVID-19. Wrong!
Okay. I'm going to pivot here a little bit because I want to come back to what you said about controlling the $8.5 billion. I had a little bit of a chit-chat with a friend of mine by the name of Jason Preston, ran for Congress here in the state of Utah and now has a group and has a radio station himself. And he's like, John, we're getting set up. He goes, we're getting set up.
Oh, yes.
He goes, we've got war on one point. We've got... And I said... He goes, I think we're facing real troubles. I said, the question is, they've got to get rid of millions of people, but billions. I think they're waiting to make sure that they have things lined up perfectly. Now, right. The question is, are they, and when are they waiting to light that match? Because they want to install the new world order, but are they, when they're lining things up and they're waiting for the right moment to light that match. And I said, and he's like, well, they could do it any time. And I said, no, they can't. They can't exactly do it any time. I said, here's what happens with war. And here's what happens when people get dissatisfied. One of the problems with war is the majority of the time they get the results they want. But every once in a while, a Spartacus or something like that pops up. And that's what they're terrified about.
Yeah, and believe it or not, in some fashion, not totally, but in some fashion, this was the reason Trump had to be gotten rid of at all costs. Now, to say that Trump is an angel is an absolute lie, but to say he was a danger to their... Yeah, let me explain this, because you said when. If the election had gone... The 2016 election had gone the way it was supposed to, and there was massive cheating in that election as well. The problem with the 2016 election was they seriously underestimated how many people hated Hillary and how many people actually liked the concept of Make America Great Again. So they ended up with Trump getting into office. Obama took America to one knee. Hillary's 8 years was supposed to finish America off. Trump was never supposed to get into office. Remember from the day he got in, actually before he actually took the White House, they did everything they could to destroy him, to impeach him, to get him out of office. Why? Because he was a four-year stopgap. He was a four-year delay in their process. What was their process? Bring the cowboys to their knees. Why? You cannot have global governance until the cowboys go to their knees. Trump had to be gotten rid of at all cost. And since he did make his 4 years, since everything they tried, which was massive, with his 4 years in office, everything they tried failed, they had to absolutely ensure at all cost that he wasn't given a second 4 years. Who did they put in there? Because they made sure that Trump wouldn't win. Who did they put in there? The most compromised idiot on the planet. Joe Bob will always do what he's told. He will always do it. He'll do it immediately, and he'll do it pretty much effectively as long as he remembers what you told him to do and he can read the teleprompter. Joe Bob is not there because he's smart. He's not there because he won an election. He's not there because he's a good politician. He is there because the deep state holds more sway over him due to all of the evil things and the corrupt things and the seditious things him and his family have done. That's why Joe Bob's in office. He is there to complete what Hillary Clinton was supposed to do. That's why in the last 2 years, more destruction has occurred in America than in the last 50 years combined. Stop and think, people. When have you ever seen this much wrong in America? When have you ever seen a president so inept, so corrupt, and so compromised as Joe Bob? Does one in one make two to how many of you?
Well, as you're stating, I firmly believe they are doing it on purpose.
Yes.
And they are. So I have not quite figured out. It is super duper obvious to any. I'm talking to left-leaning people that are lifelong Democrats. They're like, yeah, it's obvious that he's not all there, but.
But.
But he's our guy.
Yep. But.
Okay. So one other thing that I want to cover with you. Actually, if I can hit two things, I want to tell a real quick story. I was in a meeting with a top C-level officer in a fairly large medical network. They have under 200 sites, but it's in multiple states. And he goes, yeah, we've got people. He goes, John, we've got people within our own organization that are now declining the shot. Yep. He goes, we're hearing stories where people are having cardiac arrest. And I'm like, you're starting to say
myocarditis.
Yeah, myocarditis. He didn't bring up myocarditis, but he's like, he goes, John, I had a nurse call me up and say, I'm not taking this shot. I took the first shot, got COVID. Took the second shot. Almost, I had to go to the hospital, and I was afraid for my life after I took the second shot because of how sick I was. This nurse said, I can't remember, I think he just said nurse, I don't think he said he or she, but the nurse said they're not taking the next one because they don't know what will happen. This is someone who they shut down their whole medical network. Meaning many, 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 many hundreds of doctors, top-level doctors,
yep,
did not have people come in the door for a month. They finally were able to do telehealth. And I said, this is what a cousin told me, who is a doctor at a hospital who performs surgeries. He goes, John, my biggest concern is not the COVID, people dying from COVID. He's said, my biggest concern is 6 months to a year later of the people that weren't getting treated.
Agreed. All intentional. And thank you for having me on.
Brother, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. Next hour, folks, you can call in, and we're going to have open lines, and you can chat until I get Steve Elkins on.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.